All right. So thank you, Steve, for leading our search team and for leading our time this morning. And we do really value and covet our church family's prayers and encouragement as we go down this process. You know, didn't that youth band do an amazing job today? Like, that's unbelievable. I've never actually heard them play. And so when I came this morning and I heard them practicing, I was like, wow. Like, and that, you know what? Pastor Davey invested and poured a lot into that group of folks that you just saw up until the summer. And that's a lot of the discipleship and leadership development work that Pastor David did together with his team. So a big shout out to Shane and Joe Murphy, who've been helping out in that regard as well, to Pastor Craig and to the youth ministry team who have been carrying that ministry on. Please take some time to encourage these folks and bless them, because God is still very much at work. Did you know that Benjamin Chase, Steve, that was just up here, he was behind the soundboard with Shane today, and he's in grade six, okay? And Tyler, who is leading the vocals today, we were praying just out that side door before the service started, and we finished praying, and then he goes out and he says, "Let's hit it, Bobby," and he's talking to me, right? And I'm like, "All right, Ty, let's hit it." So we are so glad. We are so grateful for our young people in our church. Two of our priorities as a church family is discipleship and leadership development. And perhaps the most visible crowd that we have before us as a people of God are those children and youth and young adults who are part of our church family. You see, if we fail to disciple those children and those youth and young adults in our our kind of proximity, right, in our families and in our church family, maybe we haven't failed, but those are our first priority. And so we really need to, as a church family, be thinking about the children and the youth and the next generation as a family here at Westwood. And so, just a real big shout out to those who are kind of serving in that regard. And to our children and to our youth and to our young adults, I am so glad that you are a part of our church family. I absolutely love it when I see little kids running around after the church service. Yeah, sometimes they're jumping off here, and I'm kind of scared they're going to break their ankle or something like that, but I'm glad that they're here. I'm glad that they're running around. I'm so glad to see our youth people, our young people engaged in different areas of service. We have a lot of youth and young adults working the children's ministry, working alongside younger youth, and being incorporated into worship ministry and other aspects of mission, and so grateful for that. And we need to keep passing that baton. We need to keep kind of inviting people, younger people, into our fold and under our wings, mentoring them, encouraging them, blessing them, and giving them opportunities to serve. And so this morning, it's really, as we kind of start this new year, it's January 1st today. How many of you stayed up till midnight last night? You don't have to be shy. Wait, raise your hands. Awesome. Okay, I was in bed by 9:15. And, and that was pushing it. So that's telling you how where my youth has gone. I want to share a couple of verses from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I really love these two verses. And therefore, today I kind of lift them up and I share them with our younger people who sometimes maybe feel like, you know, they're not quite sure, do they have a place? If so, where is it? Is the church for me? Do I stick with the church? And do people even, like, will people even kind of notice? Am I making a difference? So Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes this letter to a younger pastor, younger leader. We don't exactly know how old he was, but he was younger than Paul, and so he may have been in his 20s or so, let's say. And Timothy, I think, was a bit of a timid fellow, And Paul was really trying to encourage him and help him to kind of look beyond his youth. And then he says this, chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 12 and 13. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Okay? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So Paul is saying that your youth is not an issue. You have an opportunity, young person, child, right? Like Benjamin at the soundboard, grade 6. You have an opportunity to set an example for others, even those who are older than you. You can set an example for the believers, for the church family, in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then he says to Timothy, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Huh? So what's he saying? He's saying, Timothy, yeah, you're young, but you have an opportunity and a privilege and a responsibility to set an example and to go about the things that are going to help other people come to know Jesus, which includes reading the Scriptures and explaining the Scriptures, teaching the Scriptures, standing in front of other people and proclaiming the word of the Lord so that people might come to know Christ. So, young people, I hope that you are encouraged today. And church family, I hope that we are both encouraged and challenged to continue to be about discipling and developing all people, for sure. But let's really make sure that those who are right in front of us, our children, our younger people, our grandkids, that we are working hard at passing the baton onto them. So this morning is all about our next generation. So I want to invite the folks who have agreed to come and be a part of our time together as we get to know some of our young adults and hear a little bit about what they're up to and hear a little bit about them in terms of their faith, what it's like walking with the Lord as a young adult, and where they're up to. So don't be shy, guys and gals. Actually, there's mostly gals today. And Mitch, you're the lone guy, so come on up. So glad that you guys are able to come. We're going to grab these two mics here. So three can sit in the back, three can sit in the front. And Mitch, I'm going to give you this one, that mic there. And Kendra, I'm going to give you this mic there. And Shane is going to change my batteries. Batteries are good? All right. I'll hold this until we're all good to go. We're good? Check, 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 testing. There we go. I think are we on? Yeah, okay, all right. I will set this down here. So, before us this morning, we've got 6 young adults who are at different stages, kind of in the young adult kind of life. And they've all graciously agreed to be a part of this morning as we think about our younger people and our next generation. And so real briefly, let me just kind of introduce you to them, if you don't know who these folks are. So Kendra Schauer is on my far left there. Give a big wave, Kendra. There we go. Got Trinity Bailey. We got Melody Missiuna. We got Kathleen Morgan. Rachel Hennig, who's also on our search team. And Mitch Nickel. And so these folks are all kind of at different stages of kind of young adulthood. Now, 4 of them have been away at college, away from here, so we don't have an opportunity to kind of hear a lot from our young adults, especially those who are away at college. It's hard for us to kind of, you know, get a sense for where they're at and what things are going on. So we got four of those folks, and then Kathleen is at university here, and Rachel, we're going to hear a little bit about kind of her educational pathway, which has been different than some of the others, and she's one of our young adults and serving in many ways here at Westwood. And so for those of you who've been away at college, and I guess the four of you who've been away at Bible college, so you've been home for a couple of weeks. Real quickly, what was on your to-do list over the course of the last 2 weeks? Because you guys go back, like, is it on tomorrow? Oh, the 8th, so you have all next week. Okay, oh wow, you got a big long break. Okay, good for you. So Kendra, what have you been doing? Sleeping lots or what?
Definitely sleeping, going to the dentist as well.
Okay, so kind of basic things that have to happen when you get home from college on a break, like dentist. Okay, Trinity, how about you? What have you been up to?
Also the dentist. You know, trying not to get cavities before I turn 19, because that's expensive.
Okay. Okay, so that's an important parental piece, right? Like the whole, benefits and dentists and all that kind of stuff, right?
It truly is. But no, like, honestly, like, spending time with family, for the most part, is what I've been up to, so.
Okay, awesome. Melody, how about you?
I also had a dentist appointment, but unfortunately, I was sick, so I couldn't go, which was very sad. I was really looking forward to seeing my cat again, because I missed her a lot. I also miss my family, but my cat,
But the cat comes first,
eh? The cat comes first, yeah.
Okay, and Mitch, he has a mic. How about you? Tell me you didn't go to the dentist.
I will be going to the dentist. No, lots of sleep and seeing friends, family, just lots of relaxation, which has been nice.
Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what the four of you have been kind of up to the last semester. And we'll start with Mitch. So these four students have been... they've been at Columbia Bible College for the last semester, and for Westwood, one of our values in terms of our discipleship and leadership development, especially with graduating high school students, is to intentionally we would love to see every high school graduating student take a year and go to some kind of discipleship training school, a missions program, a Bible college of some sort, for the purpose of building the foundation, building the spiritual formation, and helping them to grow and build those anchor points so that wherever God calls them, in whatever kind of vocation, job, family, that they've got a foundation. There's an anchor point there. And so... So we actually, as a church family, we put dollars and cents to this. We set aside every year bursary money in our budget, in our operating budget, because we value it. And so all of these four have been recipients of that, which then Columbia Bible College actually matches. And so it's, you know, it's a bit. It's not everything, of course, but it's a contribution to this faith formation of our younger people. And so this is actually significant. So Mitch, your second year at Columbia Bible College, what motivated you to go back for a second year, and where are you sensing God's leading?
I think what motivated me to go back was just the community there. I was able to go last year in the Quest program, and I just thought that was a really cool opportunity for me. And I wanted to see what else Columbia Bible College had to offer. So I found out they actually had a social entrepreneurship program, which is like business. So I was interested in business, so I decided to take that. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm not really sure where God is leading me, honestly. But there's lots of options, so I got to keep my doors open. So
yeah. And you know what? That's fair. Most people... it takes a few years to figure out kind of the clear pathway, but it's really neat to see how you let God take the 1 year and then kind of work with it. And so, good for you. Now, the three of you ladies in the front here, you're all kind of first years, and we're going to get to Melody after we talk to Trinity and Kendra, because I'd like to hear from you ladies first. What was your motivation for going to Bible college after high school?
Well, for me, I've always kind of known that I wanted to go to Bible college from like a young age. It was kind of more a matter of where to go. But I graduated from a Christian high school, and I really loved like learning about God and theology and stuff, so I figured that that was something that I definitely wanted to pursue.
Okay. How about you, Trini? And if you ladies could just hold it a little closer, help our sound guys. Awesome.
I kind of wanted to get away from Prince George initially. I know it's rough.
Thanks for your honesty.
Yeah, I know. But, like, honestly, like, since being there, I've had a lot of, pretty much, like, a big slap in the face about that. And, like, God has been working so much. Like, if I didn't, like, I don't know. Going to CBC has been a really, like, good choice, I think. But, yeah, I kind of was convicted, but mostly just wanted to, you know, have a different, like, experience, so.
Okay. Now, Melody, your experience was a little different because you graduated from high school, then you went to university for a year, but then you made a decision to go to Bible college. Can you tell us a little bit about that in terms of the what and the why?
So, my plan while I was in high school was to go to Bible college right after, or maybe take a gap year in between. But it just worked out better for me to go to UNBC. I ended up being blessed with a scholarship that was only redeemable the following year. So I made it through that year. And just a little side note, everyone who knows me knows that I am a pretty shy person to people who I don't know very well, so it's difficult for me to make connections quickly. And after my first year at university, I was feeling pretty lonely and isolated. And so I had heard my sisters both went to Bible college and really enjoyed it and still have strong connections with people they met there today. So, yeah, I just felt called to go to Columbia Bible College specifically, and it's been really great meeting people there. And the community and connections are very strong there.
Okay, so hold that mic there, and we're going to stick with you ladies for a minute. Because both Mitch talked about community, you just mentioned community. When you think about your experience at Bible College to this point, what has there been a critical aspect of your experience so far that's been pivotal for your faith formation? Like, maybe it's a class, maybe it's community, maybe it's a certain teacher who's kind of brought the scriptures to life. Like, when you think about your experience, has there been a critical aspect of it for your faith formation? Let's start with you.
I think for me, it was definitely the worship team that I joined. While I was there, I realized that a big thing for me and my faith is community worship and just taking a moment to, like, while a congregation or a student body is in worship, just taking a moment to step back and think about that. Everyone there is collectively deciding to come together and sing praises and play instruments for God altogether. It's just, yeah, it gives me chills sometimes thinking about it, and that's been really powerful for me.
Trinity, how about you?
I feel like there's been definitely a lot of moments of, I guess, sobering moments, but I think something that really kind of, I don't know, made me realize that being at CBC was, like, I don't know, something that was going to be super beneficial for me was at the beginning of, like, my semester, I kind of had a struggle with leaving family and church, obviously. Kendra and I didn't want to go to any other church because we wanted Westwood to come to Prince George, I mean, to Abbotsford, so we stayed in our dorm and watched the service in our pajamas.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, we did that. But yeah, like the community at CBC, like, I couldn't believe that, like, they had already chosen to love us before we even got there. And that was something that really, like, really hit me. And they show that so much. And they were really, like, really helpful in, like, just making it kind of feel like a smoother transition into, you know, adulthood and stuff.
How about you, Kendra?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I would have to agree that the teachers were definitely a big part in my spiritual formation. They really pointed out, like, a lot of my own, like, abilities that I hadn't recognized and really pushed me to pursue a relationship with God, even though at some points it was difficult, transitioning away from Prince George. But, yeah, sorry. I also think just getting to be out in creation, like, in our program was super beneficial, too. Like, just having our teachers reveal, like, different characteristics of God through creation was really amazing to see.
Right, because the program that you and Trinity are in is the Quest program, which incorporates a lot of kind of outdoor learning, right? Tell us a little bit about that. Like, just you're out and about all over the place, right? You're doing hikes, you're seeing crazy parts of BC, you're out in the ocean.
Yeah, so we've gotten to do, like, a whole bunch of trips, like sailing, hiking. Just a whole bunch of trips.
Yeah.
But we also do, like, kind of work in between then. We still have regular classes, but we do trips, like, at least one trip a month. But, yeah, typically two or three each month.
Okay. Mitch, let's go to you. Important aspect of your experience so far. What's been critical for your faith formation?
I would have to say the worship nights we have on Tuesdays. It's called Vespers. So it's just an hour-long worship service, and sometimes we do, like, communion, or we write notes on the cross of how we want to see God change us, like, on the coming semester, which has been really changing for me in my spiritual formation. Also, just the community there, just to be able to have good Christian friends who want to deepen their relationship with God has really helped me deepen my relationship with Him as well, and also be able to deepen my relationships with others.
Thanks. It's really cool to kind of hear kind of how God's been at work. Now, the other ladies have been quiet here in the background because Kathleen Morgan, she's reflecting back now 6 years since you were at Bible College, and you've been in university here in the north since then. So when you think back of your time at Bible College, how did that time establish your foundation?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say I've got a couple people here today who were my kind of peers and cohort. So that's Amy Messina and Nikki Mueller. So I hope that I can speak well on behalf of all of us today. I think Bible College gave me the space not only to study the Bible, but just to explore my relationship with God. I just think back and I think of how through that year, my relationship with Jesus and my knowledge of Scripture became so much more solid, and that has become a foundation that I've been able to lean on, especially when things have been hard or difficult. The knowledge that God is true and He is truthful and faithful and that His Word is true has carried me through a lot of difficult times over the last 6 years.
One of the questions that you said a lot of people ask you now after being at UNBC for as long as you've been, what people ask you, like, what's it like going to a secular university? Almost kind of a bit of a fear-based kind of a thing. What do you say to them? Like, what's been your experience?
I think, like, one of the things that I was most concerned about coming home through my year at Bible school, where, like, as everybody said this morning, the community aspect is huge. It's massive, and it's really special being on a campus, in classes, living with people who have a similar set of beliefs and values to you, and that they center their lives on too. It's really unique and special, and it's hard to describe if you haven't got to be a part of it. But that was what I was kind of assuming that I would lose. I was assuming that I wouldn't have that same level of community again, and that by coming home to go to university, like, that was something I was sacrificing. And it could not be farther from my experience. I have been so blessed, not only with such a great community here, I've just had just the most exceptional friends. Some I've met through school, some I've met through church work. I've had the most exceptional friends. Some of them are Christian, and I'm very thankful for the ways that we're able to love and support one another and kind of live life together following Jesus. And I have a lot of friends who aren't Christians, And I think going into university, I went in with an attitude of love and respect for my classmates and the people in my classes, and that has led to some really great friendships. And I found that by showing love and respect to people, in like no matter what they believe, anything, like I've had that reciprocated back to me. And so like when I tell people who aren't Christian that I'm friends with that I am a Christian, I've never been met with like hostility or anything like that. I've just been met with understanding, and it's led to some really neat experiences over the years to talk to people about Jesus. So like despite, you know, a lot of difficult seasons throughout university, I've had a really, really good experience, and I really attest that to the people who have kind of walked beside me, both Christian and non-Christian, as part of my community.
Yeah. What program are you in, and what's God calling you to?
I just graduated in the spring with my Bachelor of Arts degree. Thank you. And I am currently in the Bachelor of Education program studying to be an elementary school teacher.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, just a bit of a free-for-all here for a moment. What are you finding, what are you enjoying about this stage of young adulthood? And or what are some of the hard things? Like, what's hard about growing up right now in this era? Anyone? Rachel, start us off.
I don't know. I find the season of life is a very strange season. There's a lot of like learning and growing and finding your community and making kind of your own family. I find for me, because I didn't grow up here, so when I moved here about 6 years ago, I really had to start from scratch, and I didn't know anybody when I moved here. So it was, yeah, really finding a community and a family to call my own, which definitely has a lot of hard times and a lot of good times. Now I have a really, really solid community and people who are like my family here. It's definitely taken a long time to get there, but I've definitely gotten there. And then, I don't know, I live on my own too, which has so many joys, but also a lot of hard times too. But I don't know, I think God's been really showing me how to manage that just with that community I have. So, okay. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to that in just a moment. How about one of you ladies up here?
I really like just the openness of it all. Like, you can decide to do anything. And but that's also a really scary thing about it, because you can decide to do anything. And like, no one tells you what's right or wrong, so you have to try and like figure out what to do. Yeah.
I feel like it's weird not like just having parents around. I don't know how many times I've texted my aunt and been like, I'm gonna die, like I'm sick, like I don't know what to do, like, or you know, like I think I have scurvy, or like, you know, something wildly outrageous like that, and it's been fine mostly, like, but yeah, I think not having parents around, like Mel was saying, to just like, you know, tell you, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that, has been interesting, just navigating that one. So
yeah, so finding this new responsibility, or the carrying this new responsibility that you have to kind of parent yourself now. Yeah. One last one, Kendra. What are you liking, or what's hard?
I'm really liking just being able to explore my own beliefs in like a Christ-centered community. I think that's been really cool about this season of life.
Good. Let's come back to you, Rachel, because Rachel, she came to Prince George 6 years ago. You had plans for education and schooling. Didn't work out the way you anticipated. Can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of the journey, the process that you've been on?
Yeah, so I'm not originally from Prince George. I grew up in Langley. I grew up in a Christian household when I was like 3 or 4, accepted Jesus. And growing up when I was in like elementary school, we went to church as a family. But as we got older, my parents had a falling out with a few different churches. So we actually stopped going to church about the end of my elementary years. I continued to go to youth group over the years, but I pretty soon fell into that kind of like, oh, I don't really need to go to church. My parents would say church is not a foundational part of being a Christian, and it wasn't really necessary. It's just a different part that other people like to do. So I very quickly fell into that belief. And my friends would ask me, like, you're a Christian, why don't you go to church? And I very quickly just kind of fell into that, like, well, Christians don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But I knew that I just had that label of being a Christian, but that was about it. I had no relationship with God at that point, and I just made myself busy with extracurriculars, with school, with work and stuff. Just did not prioritize God at all in that season. But when I graduated high school, everything had been really good up to that point. Not having the relationship with God, I was like, oh, I can do this on my own. So when I graduated high school, I had a plan that I had set out for myself. I was working as a lifeguard at the time, and I was ready to, for that job that I loved, I was ready for that to put me through nursing school. I decided that, I was going to become a nurse. It is something that I had wanted to do for years, so I just started applying and kind of had this plan for my life all built out in Langley, and I was going to be a nurse, but I wasn't getting in anywhere, which was super frustrating, and I didn't really know where to go with that, so I started praying, and I was like, okay, if God's there, maybe he'll help me out. And I applied on a whim to CNC here at Prince George. I didn't even know where Prince George was when I applied. I thought it was on the coast. It's not on the coast. this was the only place I got in, which at that point it's like, okay, God, I know you're there. You have answered this prayer that I needed answered so badly. So at that point I was like, okay, I need to start taking steps toward God and actually figuring this out. So I went out, I bought a Bible, the first Bible I'd ever had without sparkles on the cover and pictures in the middle. And I started learning for myself, which was huge. So on the drive up here, I kind of had a conversation with myself of which way my life could go. And I knew moving out, being on my own in a new city, that I could either go kind of the typical like college kid route and go the very secular route, or I could go to church for the first time in years. And so I decided to do that, and I came to Westwood on my very first Sunday in town, and I've never left. So, yeah, I love it here. it was here that I found genuine friends for the first time, friends who inspired me to live intentionally, to go to church, and to live in relationship with Jesus and with others. And it was the first time that I learned what a follower of Jesus looked like and what that relationship with God actually looked like. So I wanted that to become my own. So at the end of that first semester here, I was baptized here just before going home for Christmas. And then the rest of that year, I just spent diving into just anything I could get my hands on. Bible study, worship, devotions, journaling, just anything I could do. I just really wanted to build that relationship with him. That first year of school here was filled with a lot of challenges, but when I went home to Langley that summer, it was just really filled with a lot of affirmations that nursing was what I was supposed to be doing, but also that Prince George was where I was supposed to live, that I wasn't supposed to keep going back to Langley, but that I was supposed to move permanently here. So I started that second year, I was really excited, I was ready to go, I had that affirmation of nursing and Prince George, so I hit the ground running and I was so excited, but during that first semester I started to get really sick. And I didn't really know what was going on. I just ignored it. I thought it's nursing school. Nursing school is a wild time, so I just assumed it was that was just bringing me down. But during my second semester, my roommate ended up noticing how sick I was because I couldn't get out of bed. So she made me go to the doctor, and I finally did, and I started fighting for answers. Being sick made that year just next to impossible. It's honestly by the grace of God that I was able to get through that second year. But I knew that I just couldn't do it after that. I spent that whole summer trying to just recover, just rest and get ready for the third year. But at the end of the summer, I ended up actually getting sicker. So I could not go back to that third year of school. So I took a medical leave. And I spent that whole year just trying to heal. I was living doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment. Didn't really know what was going on. I had a lot of like potential scary diagnoses just kind of looming over my head. All while trying to prepare to hopefully go back to school for nursing that next semester. During that year off, I went back to working as a lifeguard, which growing up, that was a job that I loved, and I loved it so much, but now I felt like that chapter had ended, and I was kind of moving backwards, but I was still stuck in that job because I couldn't go back to school. I was actually looking back at some journals when I was preparing to speak for today, and I was looking back on that time in my life, and it's a really hard season to look back on because everything just felt really hopeless then. It was a really hard balance because I knew without a doubt that God was walking with me, that he was there. I just couldn't feel him. I went through a season where I couldn't find any purpose for the pain that I was going through. But God continued to be merciful, and he continued to put people in my life who he spoke through, who walked with me, and who prayed with me and for me when I just didn't have the strength to pray. It was really hard to see during that season that the Lord was moving because he felt so silent. And it was a weird balance because I felt like he had forgotten about me, but I also somehow wholeheartedly knew that at the same time he was providing for me. It's really hard to kind of wrap your mind around feeling forgotten, but also fully provided for. It was a really weird season. I was in a season of, I still am in the season of waiting and just kind of going through my ongoing chronic health issues. I wasn't able to go back to nursing school, and that was a journey feeling called into it, but also then being called out of it. So that was definitely a season of mourning. But God continues to provide, and about a year and a half ago, he provided me with a new job position. So right now, I'm in my second year working as an EA in Cedars. I'm working in kindergarten, and it's definitely been a learning curve and a big adjustment just trying to figure out how to manage a full day of work with my health, managing all of that. But it's been really cool because God used my experience in nursing school to be able to work with some kids who have their own ongoing health issues. So that skill set I learned in nursing school, he's still using that now, even as I'm not a nurse, which has been such a blessing. I definitely still have a lot of periods in my life where the circumstances get the worst of me. I don't know, when I was in high school and it's that, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? This is not at all where I saw myself. I thought, you know, at 25, I'd be in Langley, I'd be a nurse, I'd be married, I'd have kids by now. None of that is true, but I wouldn't change that for the world because I think he's worked in so many unique ways in my life. He just continues to provide. And even the past couple months, he just continues to show me that. He's put people in my life who have become the most important people in my life. He's given me family when I needed family the most. People who have literally picked me off the ground when I just couldn't get up and when I was at my lowest. They've been through the highs and the lows and the somewhere in between for me. But even when it feels like he may be still, he just continues to remind me that he's still moving in it all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. It's just really neat to hear how how you know, with the whole faith dynamic and component that you kind of found family and spiritual family here in community, and you've said these are your people and this is kind of where you want to root yourself. And so today you're committing yourself to membership here at Westwood, and that in itself for a younger generation is actually quite unusual. It's a little odd, right? Because the whole accountability and committing to something is kind of foreign to a lot of people generally, and to young people specifically. And so today we're thankful for you and thankful for your commitment to Jesus and to how he's worked in your life. And we welcome you into our family. So yeah, thank you. And you've shared some hard things too, and so we want to be praying for you. Maybe one thing. What's one thing that our church family can pray for each of you? Just share one thing. Kendra, you got the mic, so let's start with you.
sorry. I would just ask for prayer for discernment, and that I can just trust God's will as I go into the next semester and just see what He has for me outside of CBC.
Okay. So be taking note, congregation, because we want to be praying for these people.
I feel like currently, I kind of, like, with going to, like, CBC and learning all this habit formation stuff and how we can, like, implement God in our lives, like, 24/7, I kind of want to, like, hang on to that. But it's really hard forming new habits, as I've found out. And so maybe just for strength and like the ability to keep my eye on God throughout, like each day at a time, I guess.
Okay. I'd have to say strength, preferably physical. But no, I'm kidding. just strength to go through. Continue going through the semester and just trusting. Strength to trust God's plan and to persevere through it.
As I shared, I'm studying to be a teacher, and this semester I have my first, like, real I get to be the teacher practicum, and I'm super excited and super nervous, so just for peace and energy.
For me, this Christmas break was supposed to be restful, but it was not restful. So going back, the school year starts again on Tuesday, so going back, just finding my rhythm again, and yeah, just pray that I would have the energy to do that.
Okay.
Just for direction, and also that I can be able to dive deeper into studies this year, and like for the next semester, and just deepen relationships.
All right. Well, thank you for each of you for sharing this morning and engaging. We're not quite done, because in preparation for communion, Melody is she's going to share with us a little bit of what she's been kind of pondering via a bit of a favorite scripture passage that she's been thinking about and why it's important for her that she's kind of landed on this last semester. Melody.
So the scripture that stood out to me was from Psalm 27, specifically the New Living Translation. This is verse 8. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. So Psalm 27 was the one that I thought about and read over a lot over the summer when I was trying to decide what to do for school in the fall. Whether to go back to UNBC or go to Bible college, and which Bible college I would go to. And this verse really kept me grounded and kept reminding me that God's there for you no matter what, and all you have to do is trust him. Throughout the semester, I experienced a lot of change. First, it was moving for the first time, having a roommate, going to a new school, and that was fine. I love new experiences. But then I started noticing that along with my environment, I felt different. I started feeling small and weary, insignificant and confused why God had told me so clearly over the summer that I was supposed to go to CBC, when it seemed like there were so many things that just kept getting harder and harder being there. But little by little, God has been revealing to me the blessing through the hardship. And in Psalm 27, there's a predominant theme, and that is of security. Not necessarily security in life circumstances, because we all know that life is not certain and very unpredictable, but security in steadfast belief in God and his character. He loves us, he knows what's best for us, and he will protect us and be there right beside us through it all. All we have to do is tell him, Lord, I am coming.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Isn't it great that we have young people as a part of our church family? It's absolutely awesome. And so we want to be in prayer for our young people and encourage them and be champions of them and giving them opportunities and mentoring them and having them serve with us. Absolutely critical as we think about what it means to make disciples and to develop leaders. We want to receive communion this morning together as a church family and as we start the new year. And if you have your elements with you, that would be great. If you perhaps missed it, maybe just raise your hand and the ushers can bring a tray down for those maybe who missed it. But a couple of things that we want to be thinking about as we prepare for communion are, you know, as at Westwood Church, we understand communion to be the Lord's table, because it is what the Lord has done for us in dying on our behalf for our sin. So it's the Lord's table. We also understand that communion is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus, and there's an understanding of what Jesus has done. So it's the Lord's table for sure, but there really needs to be an understanding that we have been forgiven for our sin, and that Jesus and Jesus alone has done that for us. Otherwise, it seems to me that there's not a lot of meaning in eating a little cracker and drinking a little bit of juice. It's not about perfection. It's not about knowing everything there is to know about God and who he is and what he's done. It is about trusting Jesus as our Savior and then choosing to follow Him. And so when we eat and when we drink together, like we will do in just a moment, we're proclaiming something fairly significant. We're proclaiming that Jesus did die for us and that He did accomplish something that we could not do on our own, which is our salvation, the opportunity to have a relationship with God. And the Bible even says that we proclaim this until Jesus comes again. So every time we eat and every time we drink together in this way, as the people of God, and we come around the Lord's table, we are proclaiming this incredible truth, and yet we do so with hope. We eat and we drink in hope because Jesus is coming again. And so this morning, I just invite you to think about some of those things as we participate together. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus shares with his disciples prior to him going to the cross. And he shares these words to them to remind them of what we're going to be doing here in just a moment. He says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And they ate and they drank together, and then Jesus went to the cross. And so I'd invite you to take your elements today, and we are going to eat and drink together, and Kathleen is going to pray on behalf of all of us, and then I'll lead you as we eat and drink. Kathleen, would you lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come together today to honor the gift of your life and sacrifice through communion. I thank you that in the season that we've just walked through, where we've been able to celebrate your birth, that we can now reflect on your death and resurrection. I pray that as we recognize your body that was broken and your blood that was poured out, that we would carry that reminder with us not only today but through our week. In your name, amen.
Amen. This small cracker, which represents the body of Christ, broken for you and for me, let's eat in remembrance of Jesus. The juice that represents the blood that was shed for you and for me so that our sins could be forgiven, completely done away with. We're free, we're victorious. This is all because Jesus loved you and me. Let's drink together. Lord, we thank you so much for the work that's been accomplished on our behalf, and we thank you that we can start this new year just with this hope that we have that you are with us, you're for us, you are at the very center of our church family, and so we commit this new year to you. We thank you for our young people, for our children, for our adolescents, for our young adults. Lord, we are so grateful that we are a church that is filled and brimming with the next generation. Help us to be faithful in discipling them, in mentoring and developing them to be spiritual leaders, to be faithful followers of Jesus. I pray that each one today would feel so blessed and so encouraged, and we just lift them up to you today, entrusting their prayers and their hopes and their dreams to you. For we pray these things together as the people of God. And everyone said together, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together and worship. Thank you so much, young adults.